and being a part of the service. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 131. Psalms chapter 131. This is one of the shorter psalms that we've come across in our study in the book of Psalms. This one has three verses in it. So the message will be about a third as long as it usually is. Just kidding. I'm not a very good joke teller. No, we'll have 3 points though. 3 points for three verses. The subject I want to speak to you tonight is on humility. Humility. That's not a subject that you hear a whole lot about. That may not be a sin that you really think about, but it's a sin that plagues everybody. Everybody needs humility. Everyone has to deal with pride. Everyone has pride in their heart. And so I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of humility. David is the author of the psalm, and he's going to speak here. And I'll give you the background of the story here in just a little bit, or the psalm here in just a little bit. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings toward us. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you would help us and strengthen us, Lord. We are weak. Lord, we need to have humility. Lord, we struggle with pride. We struggle with things in our life, Father, that are against you and against your Holy Spirit. I pray that, Lord, you'd lead and guide and direct, and that you'd help us this evening as we look into your word, and that you'd help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 131, and we'll read all three verses there. Somebody's not a happy camper. Psalm 131, another song of degrees. If you notice that David is talking about things that are high for him, and you know that's what pride is. Pride is having a high estimation of yourself, and we're going to look at that. Verse number one says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty; neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord for from henceforth and forever." A.W. Tozer said, "For the Christian, humility is absolutely indispensable. Without it, there can be no self-knowledge, no repentance, no faith, and no salvation." I believe that to be a true statement. You have to have humility. You have to humble yourself before the Lord before you can ever have faith in God. I mean, you have to lay aside some things and come to God whenever you come to Him. You can't learn about yourself before you first acknowledge that you have limits and find out the way to deal with those limits and how to overcome them. You have to be humble and repent and acknowledge that you're going the wrong way and believing in error. That takes humility. You can't have faith in God if you believe that you have all the answers, that you know everything. You have to humble yourself before God and say, "Look, God, I don't know everything. I don't have all of the answers." And you can't be saved if you're self-righteous and you believe that you can save yourself. There's no people up in heaven right now that believe that they could save themselves. And so if you want to grow as an individual, if you want to grow as a Christian, you have to have humility. You can't be full of pride and then progress in any area of your life. I don't care if it's your Christian life or your work life or anything like that. Amen. You have to have humility. And the less humility that you have and the more pride that you have, the less that you're going to grow and the more that you're just going to be at a standstill in life. You have to have humility. David wrote the psalm here. And many people believe that the background of this psalm is David is dealing with being accused of stealing the kingdom from David and wanting to become the king instead of Saul. And David was set to take over the kingdom because God had placed him there. It wasn't because David was full of pride and he wanted to try and steal the kingdom away from Saul or anything like that, but the followers of Saul had come and they had said, hey, David is acting like that God is giving him this kingdom, and now he's trying to become king, and he's being a big hypocrite because he's full of pride, and he's trying to take the kingdom away. And David wrote this in response. These are his feelings. These are his declarations that he made as he was dealing with this problem in his life. David wasn't full of pride when he tried to take the kingdom, or tried to get the kingdom, or was going to become the king over Israel. And so we know this by the words of Scripture. David was a shepherd in his father's field. The Bible says that he was a ruddy man and that he wasn't looking at anything trying to take the kingdom away from Saul. They came and got David and brought him before Samuel, and they anointed him as king there. And it was God's plan and God's appointed purpose for him to take that kingdom and for him to be the king. Amen. And so this was written in response to that. And David makes the declaration, no, it's not pride that's driving me to become the king of Israel. It's God's plan for that. And pride is dangerous for all of us. Before you know it, pride can creep up in your life. It can creep up in your heart. It can cause devastation in your relationships. The way that you think, the way that you think about other people, it's a terrible thing that can creep up in your life and in your mind. You might be sitting here tonight thinking, well, I don't need to hear this message. You know, I'm glad that so-and-so is here because they really need to hear this because they have a lot of pride. And I myself am really the embodiment of humility. And I don't need to hear that. Well, if that's your mindset here this evening, you're probably the one that needs to hear it the most. Because each and every one of us have pride that we must deal with. Did you know that pride turned a cherub into the devil? He was called the anointed cherub that covereth, and he said, hey, I want to have that position that God has. I want to be God. I will be like the Most High. And then he found himself kicked out of heaven for that, and he became the devil. And then he produces an offspring, and the defining characteristic about Satan's children, about the children of the devil, is that they are prideful, that they have pride. That's a dangerous thing, and it's a very scary thing. You know, that ought to be a very serious concern for each and every one of us. But it says in Job chapter 41, it says, upon earth there is none like who is made without fear. He's talking about the devil. He beholdeth all high things. He is king over all the children of pride. So the father, their father is the devil. Those who are filled up with pride, they're concerned about looking good in front of other people. They're concerned about defying authority. They don't want to listen to what God has to say. And you can see it in their everyday lives. If someone does not submit to the authority in their lives, most likely they're not going to submit to God as well. They're going to disregard God as well. And so tonight we want to look at pride, and David has made some declarations about pride. And I want to look at three of his declarations that he made about pride and see how that we can avoid being full of pride. We need to have humility in our lives. The first declaration that we see is David's declaration of humility. He says, I have humility. We'll look at what all that entails, and then a declaration of contentment, and then finally a declaration of hope. He has hope in the Lord. His faith is in God and not in himself. But number one, he declares that he has humility. Now he says in verse number one, he says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. David says, my heart is not haughty. My actions are not coming from a heart that is full of pride and arrogancy. The fact that I'm becoming the king of Israel has nothing to do with my pride. Now, Let's get some things straight here. David is not a perfect man. David is not one that you can look at and say, well, you know, David, he never sinned. He's just like Jesus Christ. I mean, this man is perfect. We never found anything wrong with him. No, that's not the case for David. David had plenty of problems. You look at his life within the words of Scripture, you can find out that David had many sins that he had to deal with. Now, David is not trying to cocoon himself off and wall himself off from any kind of criticism that is coming up against him and saying, hey, there's nothing wrong with me. Nobody can come at me with any kind of criticism. No, David's not doing that. As a matter of fact, when someone came to David with one of his sins that he had done, he accepted responsibility. He said, yeah, I did that. Read Psalm 51. He wrote plenty of psalms that showed that he owned up to the sins that he committed. And we could take a sidetrack and say, could I encourage each and every one of you here this evening? If someone comes to you and they give you some kind of correction or some kind of reproof or something that you're doing wrong, and they're doing it in a loving manner and they're trying to help you and they're trying to correct you, don't turn that reproof away. Don't turn that correction away and say, I don't need to hear that. Talk to the hand, not the face. I'm not going to listen to you. Because that's an exhibition of pride right there. And you're not going to grow beyond that unless you humble yourself and say, yeah, I own up to that. Yeah, that's true. I did that. Well, David's not doing that. David's saying, hey, this is not coming from a heart of pride. He's defending his integrity. And he's giving us a great lesson to learn. There's three areas where pride resides in a human being. The first thing was his heart. He says, my heart is not haughty. He said, deep down on the inside of me, deep down in the very deepest part of my soul, the actions that I'm doing are not coming from my heart. What is the heart? The heart is the thing that drives your life. It directs every part of your life. It directs your mind. It directs your will. It directs your emotions. It directs every part of your life. And if you have a heart full of pride, it's going to come out in every part of your life. You'll see it in your emotions. You'll see it in your thought process. You'll see it in the decisions that you make. If you have a heart full of pride, and David said, my heart is not haughty. My heart is not lifted up. That's what haughty means. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I believe that some people, and even Christians, couldn't give a flip about their heart. Because they open it up all kinds of trash. Yeah. And they don't care. Yeah. Then they make stupid decisions. And it comes out in their life. Hey, guard your heart. Amen. Is it full of pride? Is it full of uncleanness? Guard that thing. He says, my heart is not haughty. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Like we said, it doesn't mean that he was sinless, but there was something about David that was different. He says, my heart is not haughty. And he says, nor mine eyes lofty. That's the next thing that you will see in a person if they have pride. It's in the way that they look at things. It's in the way that they view themselves. It's in the way that they view other people. If you have a heart full of pride and your eyes are lofty, you're going to think of yourself highly and you're going to look at other people as though they are lowly. You're going to look down at others and you're going to look up to yourself if you have eyes that are lofty. Are you guilty of that here this evening? I know that I am. I believe that we all are. Hey, it's not hard to look down at somebody else. You know why? Because it makes yourself feel a whole lot better. You look at that person and say, man, I am glad that I am not like that person. I am glad that I am not the drug addict out there on the street. Look at me. I have the nice family. I have the nice car. I have the nice life. I don't have all that stuff. You know, I mean, what a sorry excuse for a human being. What are you doing? You have eyes that are lofty. You have eyes that are looking up to yourself and trying to exalt yourself and putting down other people. And he says, mine eyes are not lofty. He says, I am not looking down on other people. I do not have a high opinion of myself. And the things that are going on in my life and the kingdom that I am about set to take is not coming from a heart of pride. It says in Proverbs chapter 30, it says, there is a generation that is pure in their own eyes, but yet they are not washed from their own filthiness. Oh, they have a high opinion of themselves. They think that they are righteous in their own eyes, but they're not washed from their filthiness because they have pride, because they're looking at themselves in such a righteous manner. He says, there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. The Bible says, and what God says, He says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. You know what the first one is? A proud look. A proud look. That's where pride resides, in the heart, in the eyes. And the next, we see the mind. Pride resides in the mind. He says, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, nor things that are too high for me. Boy, we could hit a lot of people in the United States today with that statement. Because David says, I don't exercise my mind in things that are too high for me. He says, I don't go around trying to figure out things that I have no business dealing with or trying to figure out. He says, I am not high-minded. He's not saying he's stupid, but he's saying there's some things that I really don't need to know about and I really don't need to try and discover and look for. He said, I'm going to stay with the simple things. I'm going to stay with the things that I can understand. Did you know that some people are just so enamored with things that they have no business dealing with and trying to figure out and trying to discover? They can be so smart in such different areas and things that don't amount to anything, but then they don't know anything about God or righteousness or holiness or anything like that, because they're trying to be heady and high-minded. The Apostle Paul warns us, I believe it's in Romans chapter number 12, he says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Hey, stick with the simple things. Get those things figured out first, and then try to go on to the more complex things of the universe. Amen. But that's the way that some people are. So David kept his mind in check, and he didn't concern himself with complexities that he didn't have any business dealing with. That's where pride resides. And he says, those things are not in my mind, in my eyes, or in my heart. Is a declaration of pride. A declaration of humility. The next declaration that we see of David is a declaration of contentment. This is an important one. If you and I are going to be partakers of humility, we have to learn to be content. He says in verse number 2, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned from his mother. He says, just like a child has to learn to be quiet if he's going to be weaned from the milk of his mother, so I have learned to be quiet and to be content with the things that God has given to me. I don't know, not everyone here has children. But when you had children, you had to feed them, didn't you? And boy, sometimes they get upset. They want the bottle. They want their mama. They want to be fed. And whenever they're newborn, They're gonna want something to drink right now. They're gonna want something to eat right now. They don't care if you're sleeping. They don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. They don't care if you're in the middle of church. They don't care about any of that stuff. Because it's just about me. It's what I want. Give me that milk right now. I need it. But as they mature and as they grow, they learn to be quiet. They learn a schedule. They learn to sleep through the night. They have learned to be content with what you give them. That's the same thing for us here today. If we want to learn humility, we have to learn to be content with the things that God has given to us. And that is what David is saying. He's saying, look, I have learned to be content with the things that God has given to me. When that child matures, he can learn and he can grow up, and you know what he can do? He can start taking care of somebody else. He can start helping someone else in the things that they need. That's a sign of maturity. Whenever you grow up and you become mature, you can start helping someone else, but first you have to humble yourself. And you have to be content with the things that God has given to you. Now, we live in a society that I believe many of the people are like grown-up babies because they can't help nobody else. And they're not concerned about anybody else. Do you know who they're concerned about? They're concerned about themselves. They don't care about you or God or anybody else. They've never learned to quiet themselves and get weaned off of mama. They're still there. They have not matured. When you learn to worship God and not yourself, you have learned some humility. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Do you know what the first characteristic of perilous times are? "For men shall be lovers of them own selves." When a society decides that they don't care about God and they don't care about anybody else, and there is self-love and self is the supreme, you're dealing with very, very, very perilous times and precarious times. Because they don't care about you. They don't care about nobody else. As I said, they're like a bunch of big grown-up babies that never have learned any humility. And they want everything right now, and it's all me, me, me all the time. And they have not learned to take care of themselves or to take care of anybody else in society. And they're only concerned about themselves. They have not learned any humility. Like a bunch of grown-up babies. "In the last days, perilous times shall come. They are consumed with self-worship." We know that when a society does not love God, they don't love people either. Because the way that you treat people is the way that you're going to treat God too. And when a society decides they're not going to love other people, they don't love God either. When fathers do not love their children, they are full of pride and they are selfish. When mothers do not care about their children and they're more concerned about themselves instead of their children, they are full of pride and self-worship. When children will not obey their parents and will not honor their mom and dad, they are full of pride and self-worship. They have not learned humility. When a society does not care about the people that they are surrounded by, they have not learned humility. When church members don't care about the church that they go to, they have not learned humility. When they think, "Well, the church is just here to take care of me, and I don't care about them," they have not learned humility. "No, I can't support the church. I can't give to the church. I won't give to the church. I won't serve the church. I don't care about those people." They have not learned humility. They are lovers of themselves. They are full of pride. They are not content with the things that God has given to them. You and I must learn basically to grow up and help others, because it's not about ourselves. It's not about me, and it's not about you. You want to find a way to really mature as a person? Get yourself a couple of kids. Get yourself about 3 or 4 kids. You know what you'll find out when you get about 3 or 4 kids and they continue to grow and get older? Life is not all about you. You have to give up. You have to sacrifice. You have to work for years and years and years and years. And then you find out, man, I got to humble myself because it's not all about me anymore. I've got to sacrifice for those kids. Our society is not that way anymore. By and large, I'm not saying everyone is this way. I'm not saying that at all. When a society rebels against authority, they're rebelling against God. They're like a bunch of grown-up babies, kicking and screaming. God is the one who has put those people in authority. And when you rebel against authority, you're rebelling against God. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. That's what humility is. Humility is not sitting around thinking you're this horrible person, self-deprecation, and just thinking how horrible of a person you are all the time. No, that's not humility. Humility is not beating yourself up. It's learning to take the focus off of yourself and looking to God and looking to others. That's humility. That's what humility is. Humility comes when we stop thinking about me, me, me all the time, whether it's in a positive sense or a negative sense, and we start thinking about others. David had learned to be content. He's saying, hey, I've learned to shut my mouth. I've learned to be content with the things that God has given to us. He says, whatever I am, whatever I know, God has put me there. He has given me that. I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to go ahead and accept whatever God has given to me. I'm not going to sit around and throw a big fit. I can think of plenty of times that the scriptures have talked about David and how he just let things slide. And he chalked it up to God and said, hey, God is the one who's doing this. And he was content. The next thing that David looks at, and the way that we can know that we have humility, is that we trust in the Lord and not in ourselves. He says in verse number 3, he says, let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth forever. If you and I are going to learn humility, we have to learn to depend and trust upon the Lord. We're not going to trust in ourselves. That's not humility. It's not thinking, you know, we know it all. We have it all figured out. I'm the king of my domain. I am the God of my own life. I don't need to listen to God. That's not humility. That's the biggest exhibition of pride I've ever seen in my life. We're going to have humility. We must learn to trust the Lord. Did you notice what our hope and our trust ought to be in? It ought to be in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Our trust is not in America. Our trust is not in the president. Our trust is not in politics. Our trust is not in Congress. Our trust is not in the Senate. Our trust is not in our military might. Our trust is not in our great huge army that we have. That's not what our trust is in. It's foolish to trust in princes, the Bible says. Don't trust in that. Our trust is in the Lord. If our trust is not in the Lord, but it's in our government, we are no different than a non-Christian. Our hope must be in the Lord. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he says, let Israel trust in the Lord. Would God that our entire country would do that. It ought to be corporate. Hey, man, nations can have revivals. I wish ours would. I wish they would turn back to the Lord. I wish they would go to God. I wish they would repent of their self-righteousness and their sin and turn to God. I wish that they would. Nations can do that. So it all throughout the Bible, they turn to God. I wish to God that churches would turn to God. I wish that they would do that as a whole. As a whole, Grace Fellowship Baptist Church, that's what our hope ought to be in. Boy, we come together and we put our hope and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a corporate body. That's what we're here for. We might have a lot of differences in other areas, and we will, because we're all different. But we ought to have unity and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I wish to God that families would do the same thing as a whole. Hey, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord, the whole family. Get ready, get right. Boy, our hope is in the Lord. That's a display of humility. That's saying, hey, we don't have it all figured out. God has the answer. The Bible has the answer. That's a display of humility. It's corporate. We put our hope and our faith in the Lord. And not only that, it's not just a one-time thing. He says in the verse there, in verse number 3, he says, let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth forevermore. Have you made that determination in your heart? Have you said to yourself, look, I don't care what happens. Come what may, my hope and my faith is going to be in the Lord from henceforth forevermore. As I've told you time and time again, faith, hope, it's not just a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. You get up. You have things. You have situations and circumstances in your life that you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what you're going to come up against that day, what you're going to face. Your hope needs to be in the Lord. from henceforth forevermore. So there's a lot of situations and illustrations that I can give to you, but our hope needs to be in the Lord. The final question I'd like to ask you here this evening is, could you make these same declarations about your life if someone questioned and examined you? Could you say that? Could you say, yeah, I have the humility. I have contentment. My hope is in the Lord. I think that we would all fall short some way, shape, or form. I know that I do. You have to look at those things. No one is exempt from pride. I'd like to point you not to David in the Scriptures, not to this David that wrote the Psalm, but I'd like to point you to the greater David, our Lord Jesus Christ, because our Savior is a personification of humility. He left heaven. He came down here to earth. He lived and died as a man. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. We look to Jesus Christ for our help. Jesus Christ was the personification of contentment. Jesus Christ didn't have a home of his own. He did not have a place to lay his head. And he died on the cross. But yet you don't see Jesus Christ complaining, griping, and full of discontentment. No, he says, I always do the will of my Father. I always obey God, my Father. So we don't look to David, this David, we look to Jesus Christ. If you struggle with the sin of pride, I'd implore you to repent and be clothed in humility. Go away from that. The Bible says, let each esteem others better than themselves. That's the way that we ought to view one another. Put yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Because it's only through Christ that we can overcome humility. It's only through Christ and His Spirit that He gives to us that we can overcome this. And then we can walk according to His Word. Again, in the Scriptures it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You're going to submit to Christ. You're going to submit to His Word and live in humility for the rest of your days. Every one of us struggle with that. Every one of us do. We must submit to God and to His Word. We're not going to have an invitation this evening, but we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we will be dismissed. I don't see the need to have an invitation tonight. So let's go ahead and stand tonight. Thank you for coming.